All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Spirit Talk podcast. This is, I got Dr. Painter here with me. And Dr. Painter was actually my professor when I went to Bible college for 2-3 years. Do you want to talk about what you do here at, we're at Poplar Creek Church right now? Give your background of ministry or history of ministry maybe a little bit.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I went to Trinity Bible College out in North Dakota and graduated from there, from a four-year program there. And from there I went back to my home church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and was there as a youth pastor and children's pastor for 8 years. And from there I went down to Springfield, Missouri, and got an MDiv degree from the Assemblies of God Seminary there in Springfield. And I came back to Wisconsin and was an associate pastor at Madison Church for 9 years. And from there I went, came to Sheboygan, or back to Milwaukee here, I guess. And that was in 2006. And I've been doing ministry and working with college programs and ministry training programs. And just as of this year, was hired by Poplar Creek Church to come on staff as education pastor for the staff here.
Hmm. So you've been here then for about a year now?
Since January 1st, so like 2.5 months.
This year, okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Like 2.5 months. But
yeah, all right.
Yeah. And while I was in Madison, yeah, that was, worked on a master's degree at UW-Madison, the Hebrew department, and then PhD degree from Trinity in Deerfield, Illinois. Mm-hmm.
And you've been teaching here longer than a year, though.
Oh, yes.
Longer than 2 months, though.
Oh, right, yes.
Teaching here for...
I've been sort of volunteer teaching Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible studies, right, since 2007, 2008, something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So, quite a long time.
Yeah, awesome. So we're going to be talking about... just going to be sharing a little bit about our stories and experiences with speaking in tongues. It's not going to be a very theological conversation. Obviously, we'll go to scripture because obviously it is all scriptural. So we'll come back to that. But yeah, I'm just going to start asking questions. We just talk, have a conversation like that.
Okay.
I'll begin with, what is the purpose of tongues?
Purpose of tongues, purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think ultimately I see it as an initiation into the prophetic realm, is how I define it. So it's something that I think brings us into the realm and the workings of the Spirit, and opens us up to, I think, a lot of the different, more miraculous, supernatural elements of the Spirit's work in and through our lives.
Okay. What does the Assemblies of God, what is their standpoint on speaking in tongues or baptism in the Holy Spirit? What is their belief on the connection of those two?
Okay. So we would say that the speaking in tongues then is the evidence that the baptism has occurred. And that we would say, again, that it's the initial evidence. But by that term initial, it then implies that we would expect many other evidences that would also follow. And so the list in 1 Corinthians 12 of different gifts of the Spirit, we would see as outflow of that initial experience. And we do see it as an actual language that can be used in prayer and and on an individual level, just in our own daily prayer times. And see it as a language that God knows, understands, and we would say that it could be a heavenly language, something that might be, you know, connected to an angelic language, or it could be a language spoken today, or it could be even a language that existed thousands of years ago that's no longer even spoken.
Hmm.
So I would say
interesting.
Even ancient Babylonian or something, ancient Egyptian. So some of it we don't know, but there certainly have been stories and experiences in which people have prayed prayed in tongues, and there was someone present in the building or in the room, heard someone praying and recognized, oh, that's Hebrew or that's Swahili. People have heard that, and Acts chapter 2 tells us the same kind of thing, that they were speaking in tongues, and many other people from different countries heard people speaking in their own languages.
I mentioned Assemblies of God because Dr. Painter is, we're at Poplar Creek, it is Assemblies of God Church, and I grew up going to Assemblies of God churches all my life, so I've always been taught that that teaching of speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And throughout my own journey, just kind of trying to figure that out. And we can just, from there, we can tell our stories of how we came to this gift and our thoughts on it, or just our journey a little bit. I'll just start because I kind of already started. So I grew up in the Assemblies of God churches, teaching baptism in the Holy Spirit, teaching speaking in tongues, being the evidence of that, and being prayed over my whole life. Being a believer at when I was younger, I believe, and throughout my teen years, kind of went down and then came back up to devote myself again to Jesus in my early 20s. But being prayed over for that gift, to receive that gift of speaking in tongues my whole life, so many times, and never receiving it, really. And so I'm questioning, later on I was questioning, have I ever really been baptized in the Holy Spirit if I don't have this gift of speaking in tongues, if I've never spoken in tongues before? And So as a young kid, I was always prayed over for this gift, so it was an interest to me, and I always felt like there was something wrong with me because I never received that gift, and I always was super discouraged every time I was prayed over and I didn't receive that gift. I never spoke in tongues, so I felt like I was inadequate or just something wrong with me. And then in my teen years, kind of forgot about it, went my own way for a while, and then came back to it as I came back to Christ in my early 20s when I went to Impact School of Leadership, which Dr. Painter was my professor at, and started to seek the gift again while I was being taught again this aspect of Scripture, and it became a normal prayer of mine to receive this gift because of the benefits I knew that would be brought out in my life from the gift. And so I went back and forth through, I finally started speaking in tongues, I think when I was 27, so 4 years ago. So for about 7 years or 6 years or so, praying for the gift, having it be a normal thing where I was just going back and forth, kind of being bummed out that I wouldn't receive the gift, praying for it again in seasons of my life, and kind of going back and forth between, am I really baptized in the Holy Spirit if I don't speak in tongues? Am I baptized? I think I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit because I see other gifts and other fruit in my life and other evidences of, in my opinion, other evidences of, and for what I saw in Scripture too, other evidences of that being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was a huge struggle for me. And so being at Impact, what we did on Thursdays, I remember, when we were doing the class pneumatology, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is study of the Holy Spirit, and we would every morning, was it? Every Thursday morning?
Thursday mornings, before class started. Yeah. Yep. There's a prayer time that each day for the fall semester started out. Students being a part of a prayer time, and we set aside Thursday morning as a separate day, I think, specifically for the second year students who were taking the pneumatology class, right?
Mm-hmm. So, and then we would just pray, and the focus was praying in mm-hmm. in tongues.
Right.
So I would go down there, and I would just pray, basically, for the gift, mm-hmm. and just pray to God, but never received the gift at that time. Until, like, 2017, I said, my friend was getting baptized in water, and he let me know, so I was like, yeah, I'm going to come too, and I'm going to get prayed for being baptized in the Holy Spirit if I haven't been yet. That's what I said to him. And so I went to this house. He was being baptized in a bathtub, and he was baptized. Then I was talking with the guy that was at the home there later on about this and just want to be prayed for this gift. Well, we prayed first. We talked a lot about the gift and everything, and that it needs to be spoken out in faith, that this gift is used in faith just like any other gift. He just told me to start speaking out. And so I wanted it bad enough that I just started speaking out. And it's hard to say, looking back, it's hard to say if I really, truly spoke in tongues at that moment in time. And I had my friend and two other guys I didn't know sort of praying for me. And when I started speaking out in an unknown language, whether or not it truly was speaking in tongues at that moment in time, I don't know. But because I didn't feel it, it didn't feel like I was speaking in tongues. But they were rejoicing. They were like so happy that I started. They're like, oh, that was awesome and everything. So I'm driving home, and then I start speaking in tongues, and it just starts flowing out, and it's really, I'm thinking in my mind, and I'm driving, but it's like, you know, it's just happening inside of me where it's just flowing out so easily, and I believe God even had this train, you know, I got stopped by a train so that I could pray even longer for an amount of time, I felt at that time. And so it was just coming out, and I was like, I was listening to myself speak this language. Yeah, it's just where it's just this thing that is happening to me, and I'm listening to myself speak this thing. So I'm not cognitively, I am cooperating with the Spirit, but I'm not cognitively trying to come up with words to say. So, yeah. That's how that happened for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've heard lots of stories like that as well. There's where I kind of parallel the baptism of the Spirit speaking in tongues with divine healing. That I think we end up with the same kinds of questions and same kinds of issues with divine healing. We pray for certain people, and some people are healed immediately. And other people, it may be several months or several years, and then they're healed. And then other people who are never healed for whatever it might be that they're praying for. So I guess I've sort of experienced and heard, you know, a lot of the same kinds of stories like you're sharing with the baptism of the Spirit, that some receive right away, so that's my experience. And I think I was about 12 years old, and we had an evangelist at our church back in Sheboygan, and prayed for people, and I just received right away that night, and I know my mom was also prayed for that same night, but she was like waiting at the altar, and I mean, so for her it was more like a couple of hours, but she still received that same night. But then I know other people, like, you know, your same story, you know, 3 years later, 7 years later, years later. I know one lady that you know, she shared a story. She was at a church, and she was prayed for and didn't receive, you know, didn't speak in tongues that night. But then the next morning she was standing at the kitchen sink doing dishes, and suddenly, you know, just like what you were sharing in the car, suddenly it just started blowing out. And so, yeah, I think the stories are wide and diverse. And a little bit about what you shared also, I think is important, that I believe that there are a lot of different works of the Spirit that occur in and through our lives. And I say, and one of them is the baptism of the Spirit.
Yep.
Certainly there's the whole fruit of the Spirit, and you know, some people have, you know, a real gift of evangelism, and they just, you know, can share their faith so freely, and you know, they can talk with people, and then right away they get saved and they want Jesus, and other people can, you know, feel so inhibited in sharing their faith, or, you know, they can talk to 100 people and no one accepts Jesus, you know. I think there are. I think there is a lot of different ways that the Spirit works in and through our lives, and the baptism of the Spirit and speaking in tongues is just one of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking in tongues is not everything. Yeah. And sometime after I had that experience, I think maybe it was even before, but I watched a video on this guy teaching about it, and he said something like, you can stand in a creek or a river and not yield yourself to the river and let yourself float with it or whatever. So, meaning you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and not act out in faith on the gifts that the Holy Spirit can give you. You cannot choose to speak in tongues, even though you might have that gift, or you already have the ability to do it, you're just not yielding yourself to do it. So that may have been my situation, or, you know, I don't think much about it now, but it's not really important, but that may be the situation for some people where you already have the gift, just speak out in faith. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when the guys told me it's just a gift, like it's a gift like any other gift, that needs to be used in faith. Yeah. That was really impactful for me, to know that, to hear that at that moment in time.
Mm-hmm. I know one man who went on to become a Bible scholar, but he shared his story that he prayed like for about 3 years before he actually spoke in tongues and experienced the baptism. And but then after that, I mean, he began also sharing this with other people and praying for them. And he said, and so many of the people he prayed for just received, first time he prayed for them. And he said, it was so frustrating, you know, that he waited and had to struggle for so long. And yet, you know, then later on he began praying for other people to receive, and they just like, that moment. So... why it is, one way or another, I say just the same thing with divine healing. I don't think it means we have less faith. I don't think it means that we have, you know, we're less of a Christian, that we're less spiritual. And I know, you know, some people never speak in tongues, but they're great with evangelism. They never speak in tongues, but they may have, you know, they have a great sense of love or a great sense of joy. That's that fruit of the Spirit that's in their life. And part of me just says, you know, whatever gifts the Spirit is giving us, you know, use them, embrace them, and be open to whatever else may come down the line.
Mm-hmm. One time, it might have even been the same night, but I was praying in this language, and I felt right after that, I'm not sure, but so I started speaking in English right after. It seemed to flow into English right away. So, and I started to speak out in what I felt the Lord saying to me. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through me what God was saying to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was the translation of what I was just saying, or just God speaking to me in that way. Mm-hmm. But have you had any experience like that where the word was either translated to you or just tongues being translated in general?
Mm. So yeah, I don't know that I've had like a full translation kind of element, but certainly there have been times in which I was aware, either in general, kind of what I was praying for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that, you know, I've noticed at times through the years, sometimes, you know, you may feel that sort of sense of, here's this joyfulness, so it feels more like praise. And then at other times, I feel that there is more of a heaviness, and it feels more like intercession. Mm-hmm. And a prayer. And so there's, you know, and at times, I may not necessarily know exactly what's happening, but I knew, you know, so just, you know, one of these interesting situations, there was, so years ago, there was a guy in my youth group that I really felt like there was, you know, a call of God on his life to eventually go into ministry. And so at that time, he was still in high school. But one time we were at a convention, and at one point he came up to me, and then he shared. He said, oh, he felt like, you know, that night God called him to the ministry, and that's what he was going to do. And then so as soon as he left, I just felt a heavy weight come on me. And I began to, you know, pray in the Spirit, and just felt this heavy, heavy intercession, and realizing it was not going to be an easy journey for him, and that he was really going to face a real struggle now with this. And in fact, it was shortly, you know, I don't remember how much time for sure it was, but it was before he graduated from high school. He basically walked away from God. And so out of that, yeah, sort of out of that prayer time, I didn't know exactly what I was praying for. It wasn't a translation thing. Mm-hmm. But I knew and I felt here was this huge struggle. So on this one night, he feels he's called to the ministry, and here was a great moment for him. But at the same time, that same night, I just felt like, and today is going to be the start of a huge struggle in your life as well. And it is what played out. So I still pray, you know, that he would, you know, come back around and believe that somehow that call that he's experienced will find its fulfillment. But
that was how long?
Not yet. So that would have been back in the 1980s. So,
yeah,
long time.
Yeah,
we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah. So you did mention praying in the Spirit. You were praying in the Spirit. So what would you say about just all those scripture passages that talk about that specifically say praying in the Spirit or pray in the Spirit? What does that exactly mean to pray in the Spirit?
Well, I think. That phrase, I think that does tie us to this idea of speaking in tongues. I guess I would understand that to be specifically that kind of a prayer.
Okay.
Even though, again, we have all kinds of prayers that are talked about in the Bible. It can be prayers of intercession, and mm-hmm. which can be in our own language, and prayers of request and prayers of praise. That can certainly be in our own language, but I think praying in the Spirit, I think, has a specific reference to the use of tongues.
Okay. So,
in 1 Corinthians 15, 14, Paul talks about that idea of praying in the Spirit. He's talking about certainly this idea of praying in tongues, that when we pray in tongues, our mind is not necessarily fruitful, and you kind of were alluding to that, that we hear ourselves, but we're not creating these words. And yet but at the same time he says, but our spirit is edified. And so there is something spiritual that is happening out of that experience that I think, you know, Paul is highlighting different from other types of prayers.
So praying in speaking in tongues is included in praying in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that's, you know, and I'd say, again, back to the story I was just sharing, I think part of the element is that they are real prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we can be praying for people and praying for things that, again, in our minds, we're not even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spirit knows what's happening
yeah.
in other people's lives. And so in that sense, you know, prayer is still taking place and even beyond, you know, what we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that you mentioned that when you're praying in the Spirit, that your spirit picks up on what you might be praying for,
mm-hmm.
what you are praying for. Because, that's just something that I've experienced but have never heard other people saying. Other people say that. What would you say about that being in Scripture, where your spirit picks up on what the Spirit is praying for mm-hmm. in you or through you?
Mm-hmm. I think 1 Corinthians 14, I think Paul is alluding to at least those kinds of things that in saying that, you know, the mind is not fruitful, the mind does not necessarily know what's happening and going on, but our spirit is aware.
Okay.
And that he says, and that through the Spirit we speak mysteries. So I think a part of those mysteries that are spoken, of course, are the things we don't know, so they're mysterious to us,
mm-hmm.
but they're not mysteries to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there is elements in which that prayer can be for others. I think there can also be things going on in our own lives that, again, speaking mysteries with our spirit the Spirit may be praying for things for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe we aren't even aware, or maybe we're not ready to pray for them ourselves.
Yeah.
But that the Spirit is beginning to birth some things within our own lives
mm-hmm.
That may again bear its fruit somewhere down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about that in the Spirit we are praying mysteries, mm-hmm. and that those are real and legitimate. Another aspect, just in terms of prayer. In Romans 8, Paul will talk about
yep.
praying and the groanings of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there I would not necessarily say that that's necessarily tongues.
Right, I would agree, yeah.
But again, so I think that illustrates another type of prayer
mm-hmm.
that the Spirit certainly can birth within us and pray through us, that sometimes things might just be so painful that we can't give any words to it, not even in the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
not even speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Spirit can take the cries and the deep burden of our heart and turn it into a prayer, and it has, I think, reality before God.
Mm-hmm. You think Paul is speaking hyperbole in 1 Corinthians 13 when he's talking about, by praying in the tongues of angels, right? Tongues of men and of angels.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I don't take that as hyperbole. I take that as literal. That tongues could be in human languages, either present or past,
mm-hmm.
now extinct, or could be angelic languages. That
what are the
spoken
other,
in heaven?
What are the other phrases he has there? If I have the faith that can move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
If I give my body up to the flames,
right.
give all that I have to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is that argument where he's just speaking hyperbole, which makes sense. But then I look at it again, and I'm thinking, well, all these things that he's mentioning are all things that Jesus has either said,
mm-hmm.
and he's not speaking hyperbole.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm specifically thinking of the verse where he says, well, you can speak to this, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can speak to this mountain, be cast into the sea. Are we going to say to a mountain, mm-hmm. be cast into the sea?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose in that? But Jesus is making a very realistic point,
mm-hmm.
there, I think, where that is actually possible,
mm-hmm.
that great things can be done, mm-hmm. if you just have the faith of the size of a mustard seed,
mm-hmm.
something so small.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just all these things that Paul is saying, I understand how people can take that as hyperbole, but they are all things that are mentioned in Scripture, giving, but he is saying grand things still.
Mm-hmm.
They're still grand things because he's making a point about love being,
mm-hmm.
more grand than all these other,
right.
seemingly grand things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Right, and certainly those kinds of things are things, I mean, we talk about give everything that you have to the poor and,
yep.
let your body be burned. I mean, those were things that actually did happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those,
yep.
things certainly are not hyperbole because,
yep. mm-hmm.
they actually happened,
yep.
for people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so then we would come to, in the same context, speaking in tongues of men and of angels, well, we assume that that's also not hyperbole because,
right.
those things happen.
Yeah, yeah. That, if anything,
mm-hmm.
is the most, that phrase out of the other things,
mm-hmm.
that Paul says in that passage is the most like whoa,
mm-hmm.
tongues of angels.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
And like you said, they're things that have actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm reading this book by Sam Storms right now. I think it's called The Language of Heaven, or Heavenly Languages.
Mm-hmm.
He mentions in the book that basically you can be praying in tongues and it can have as much emotion to it, or I guess feeling to it, as opening a can of cat food. And at other times,
mm-hmm.
it may be so emotional or so spirit-filled where it's just totally different, where you can feel it and it's definitely led and,
mm-hmm.
and all these things. So it is a gift like any other gift where you use in faith, but sometimes I don't feel necessarily led to do it or feel like it's flowing out,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just going for it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it feels like sometimes I stop because I'm thinking I'm in the flesh too much or something and it's just not working out.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about that?
About
just speaking,
mm-hmm.
in faith versus feeling led to do it,
mm-hmm.
or yeah.
I guess I would come back to just prayer in general.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there may be times in which we can pray and we don't necessarily feel anything special, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't press forward and still pray.
It's still a command in Scripture.
Right.
Yeah.
So I still, you know, I would still say, you know, at times, right, even for the moment, we may not necessarily feel, you know, that it's energizing and special, but doesn't mean necessarily that we shouldn't, you know, still pursue that. You know, I think the same thing happens in our Bible reading and, you know, any other set of Christian disciplines that we may have in our lives. Sometimes people might feel like, oh, I don't feel, you know, blessed to tithe. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean don't put the money in the offering plate. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think there are a number of things that happen in our lives that, you know, sometimes they're more emotional and uplifting and refreshing than at other times. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, that's just a part of life, and at other times I think that may also be a part of just God's work within our lives as well. Mm-hmm. There's a, I think it's Hezekiah. There's this interesting statement, I think 2 Chronicles in his story, which it says, and God left Hezekiah to see what he would do. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I don't think necessarily left him literally, that, you know, God wasn't there, but I think at least in the sense that Hezekiah didn't necessarily feel, you know, God's presence. You know, I think that there are times we know what we should do, and whether we feel emotionally charged or not, you know, times doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. How is this gift used in your daily life?
So through all the years, I mean, sometimes it's been more mm-hmm. prevalent than at other times. And so, yeah, I don't know, I guess there's been some diversity that way, and sometimes I guess I say my Bible reading is more significant or more meaningful at that time, and other times prayer and praying in the Spirit is more, has a greater sense. So I'd say there's probably, you know, through the years, there's been kind of ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to share any more stories? Or?
So yeah, you mentioned with the Bible College, the Thursday groups. So that really kind of got birthed out of an experience that I had with my youth group back in Sheboygan when I was youth pastoring there. And at a certain point, I felt like this was important for our teens. And at a certain point, yeah, because at different points, especially like after camps or youth convention, teens would hear stories or something from, you know, the speaker, and they'd come and they'd say, we ought to get a prayer meeting going. We ought to get a prayer meeting going. But I know, you know, 3 weeks after camp, who cares on certain things? And so I never really responded to that, you know, immediately. But at a certain point, I felt like it was time, it was right to have a, you know, set up some kind of a prayer time, at least for those who were interested. So we actually set that up for a Friday night. One Friday night, I think it was the first Friday night of the month, and just set that up at my home. And for the first couple of years, sometimes people show up, sometimes no one showed up. But at a certain point, there was a certain core group of students that decided they wanted to pursue this. So that became our regular tradition, our part, that at the start of this, we would like sing a couple worship songs, and then we would just begin praying in the Spirit. And my sort of goal was, we're going to pray for 20 minutes in the Spirit, and then just see where things went from there. So again, it still took about sort of a year to sort of get some consistency. So, as I said, we kind of really worked and struggled with this for about 3 years. But once I sort of had this core group of people that, you know, these teens that were really, let's pursue this, then the next 3 years, I mean, we'd get together on a Friday night, and it was, I mean, there was just, we'd start praying, and there was just a real, every month, just a real powerful presence of you know, God present there with us, and those who were part of that, they really grabbed hold of it, and it was very, you know, very significant time, and we just spent time in prayer and worship for a couple of hours, but really, you know, by praying in the Spirit, really sort of set that stage for just God's presence. And after I resigned that position and went on, later ended up back in Madison at that time. And then two of these people from the youth group, the three of us together. And then they said, can we pray? I thought, oh my, this has been like a few years now. It's like, I had no idea, like,
right,
okay, how's this going to go? So, but they wanted to because it was so meaningful to them. And one of the guys is now a missionary in Croatia. But anyways, so I said, okay. And we just started praying. And it was like we just picked up where we left off years before. And there was just a, you know, spiritual connection that was still there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And, so, yeah, so for those who were part of it, it really did become something very meaningful to them. And like I said, even years later, it was kind of surprised me that, oh, let's try this again.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm sure it stuck with a lot of them, too. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts or anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I guess I'll just go back to, you know, comment that I started at the beginning. By opening ourselves up in faith to this work of the Spirit, I think it really increases and opens us up to faith in other areas as well. You know, as we pray for people who are sick and believe for healing, and you know, that we believe in, you know, other supernatural things that God can do in miraculous ways. So I think it is something that opens us up to other supernatural realms and expectancy. And not that those things, again, can't happen if we don't speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. I think certainly church history has shown that there were people who had great healing ministries, but never spoke in tongues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so God can do those things, but I think we find a greater openness to that, those other realms of God's supernatural workings in and through our lives, at least within circles in which, you know, people are open to the baptism of the Spirit. And I think that we can be, even if we don't have that experience, but we're at least in churches and denominations where there is at least that openness to it, I think that still also affects us. So even if we don't ourselves speak in tongues, I think it still has that whole general element of at least opening us up to faith in greater ways that, you know, looks for the supernatural, whether that's in healing or whether that's in other aspects of, you know, miraculous events in God's intervention in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, yeah, thanks a lot for being willing to sit down and chat. This was good. Yeah, I hope this was beneficial for anyone listening, and yeah, that's all.
Okay.